Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose Colombo, right here for you on Colombo Chronicles Live.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because just in a few minutes, we are going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And we have a dynamic guest for you today. She is a physician, an entrepreneur, an author, an inventor, and a mom. And she wrote the book, Clearing the Air, One Nose at a Time. And her name is Hannah R. Solomon, MD. Dr. Hannah R. Solomon, board-certified pediatrician. She says, let's talk about your nose. Let's talk about your kids' noses and your parents' noses and your friends' noses. Most of us aren't really all that nosy, are we? Oh, I think we are. In fact, let's talk about everyone's nose, because I know noses, says Dr. Solomon. And she says that she knows she can help and help you. And the nose has the power to change your entire consciousness and mood in a single second, she says. The nose is our gatekeeper, our personal filter, and our great defender. Wow, that's really powerful. And she is the inventor of a great product called NasoPeer. So we're going to ask her about her product as well as her book, and her experiences with her patients who have used her products and been very, very happy with the results. So we're going to find out more about the nose and why we should pay attention to our nose. But before we enter into the wonderful world of authors and experts today, there's a piece of breaking news that just occurred, and it is about Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, and it just happened, actually. It's off of the Western Journal website, and it says, House Republicans sue Nancy Pelosi over proxy voting. Well, that's very interesting that the House Republicans have taken such a major step as to file a lawsuit against the Speaker of the House. It says that House Republicans are suing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in an attempt to block proxy voting rules adopted by the Democrat-controlled chamber from taking effect. Democrats have said proxy voting, which allows one member to vote on another member's behalf, is a necessary response to the COVID-19 pandemic. What do you think about that? Do you think that if someone has a virus or any other disease and they can't get to the polls, that they would allow, that the government should allow someone else to vote on their behalf? So far, 59 Democrats have signed up to have others cast their votes for them according to Fox News. No Republicans have signed up for proxy voting. Republicans argued in opposing the measure when it passed earlier in May that it violates a requirement in the Constitution that a majority of members must be present to vote on legislation, and that proxy voting puts too much power in too many hands. This is not simply arcane parliamentary procedure. It is a brazen violation of the Constitution, a dereliction of our duty as elected officials, and would silence the American people's voice during a crisis, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California said in a statement, noting the suit was filed Tuesday in federal court to overturn Speaker Pelosi's unconstitutional power grab. So we're going to be keeping an eye on proxy voting and see how that turns out, because that's unprecedented in the United States of America. And on that breaking news, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment and enter into the wonderful world of authors and experts. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe, because they're scheduled to open in June.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hi, welcome back to Columbo Chronicles Live. This is the Rose, Rose Columbo, and I have a wonderful guest for you today, Dr. Hannah R. Solomon, and I will be calling her Dr. Hannah, but her last name is S-O-L-O-M-O-N, Dr. Hannah R. Solomon, because she wrote a very intriguing and unique book, which none of us really think about, but is so important when you start reading her material. And she is a physician, an entrepreneur, an author, an inventor of NasoPeer. She's also a mom. Very busy lady and well respected. The name of her book is entitled Clearing the Air One Nose at a Time. So Dr. Hannah R. Solomon is a board certified pediatrician and advocate of disease prevention. Teaching the art and science of nasal washing is her passion. And she is the CEO of Be Well Health, an LLC. She is the creator of a patented nasal invention, NasoPeer. And she has helped hundreds of thousands of adults and children worldwide maintain nasal and sinus health naturally. Her book, Clearing the Air One Nose at a Time, is the perfect owner's manual for the nose, and heaven knows we all have problems from time to time with so many problems, health issues that have to do with the nose. She asks, nasal issues, wash the tissues. So let's welcome our very special guest today to Columbo Chronicles, and let's say hello to Dr. Hannah R. Solomon. Hello, Dr. Hannah. How are you doing today?
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Oh, I'm very excited to have you, because I've never had anyone talk about the nose. And as I was reading the material, I was like, wow, this is very important. And so I'm very honored to have you on our show today. Dr. Solomon, it appears you have a nose for inventing a unique product, nasal pierce. That I couldn't help myself.
That is a good one.
That most people never think about. They don't think about their noses unless we, you know, have an itch or we have to blow our noses or we sneeze. And so most people ignore their nose. So can you tell our audience why you chose to focus your attention, as you say, to the bump on our faces?
Thank you. Well, as a old-fashioned pediatrician who was very focused on natural approaches and medication avoidance when possible, as a pediatrician, I became the snot-nose expert because most kids who come to the doctor for visits other than a well child often have issues related to the nose. Sinus, cough, runny nose, ear issues, sore throat, asthma, the list goes on. And so it became apparent to me if I was going to keep my oath upon medical school graduation of first, do no harm, it was imperative that I find a way that we wash this important structure that is the root of so many problems. And I began learning about it myself, doing the research, and lo and behold, there's so many reasons that we should be focusing on our nose. Let me begin by saying we breathe 10,000 liters of air every day through the nose. The nose warms, filters, and humidifies the air we breathe. It protects our lungs from all of the allergens, the viruses, the pollution, the pollen, the debris that's in the air. The nose is keeping that junk out. How? By filtering such a volume, by having these large folds of tissue called turbinates, that help moisturize and filter, and we produce a pint to a quart of mucus per day. Let me repeat that. Normal body produces a pint to a quart of mucus per day, and that is our friend because it helps collect those particles, but it becomes our enemy when we're on certain medications, we have certain ailments, if we're older, if we're pregnant, or if we're ill, and that causes the mucus to get thicker and stickier. And then it causes a backup of the normal flow. So NasoPure is simply a nose wash so that, much like changing the clothes dryer filter or any other filter, I would propose that we clean the filter, our nose, once a day for prevention. There are so many studies, as compared to when I first started this, there was a handful of studies, mostly ancient ones. To fast forward 30 years today, now there are so many studies supporting that nasal irrigation will reduce your symptoms. It will reduce the amount of medication you need. It will reduce the amount of times you need to go to the physician. And it will definitely reduce the amount of surgeries for sinus or ear. In fact, I'm so excited. I recently did a lecture to a group of doctors in California. And in that lecture, I shared a 2017 Respiratory International Journal now recommending nasal washing for every primary healthcare provider who is seeing somebody with a nasal issue. Finally.
Well, that's, That's amazing because, you know,
yes.
When I was a kid, you know, they called me Rosie, and some kids called me Nosy Rosie. And that's because because people, you know, and kids make fun of people's noses. And so because
right.
there's all sizes and different reasons to do so, and it's all in fun most of the time. So that brings me to the point, though, that it really isn't a joke because or funny when you know, like we joke about the nose, because you say that the nose is the gatekeeper, the personal filter, and the great defender. Who would have ever thought of saying that about the nose? But you did, and so you believe that, and that is what you're sharing with the audience and explaining to us right now. So what do you mean when you state that the words, the magic of mucus, because most people find mucus uncomfortable, let's say.
Yes. Well, let's begin by agreeing that we are talking about a bodily function. And yes, we Americans tend to be disgusted by the thought of mucus. And I understand that very well. But mucus is our friend, as I said. And if we keep the mucus thin and liquidy, it drains into the back of our throat and we swallow most of it. Or we cough up a little. It does a lot of wonderful things for us. But when it becomes thickened, it just blocks all the passageways. That's how you get a sinus infection. When the sinus drainage doorway becomes blocked, well, what is it getting blocked with? Mostly it's mucus. And so I think that a comfortable, buffered nose wash, and the reason buffered is important, is it takes away the burn. If I were to ask a two-year-old, which is what I did 30 years ago, to wash their nose with a salty solution that's not buffered, I would lose my patient and my friend. But because we used a buffered solution, it does not burn, and therefore two-year-olds kept coming back saying, I want to use my blue bottle because it feels good, and I'll tell you why. This is what I told the doctors in the audience. Hold your nose for 2 minutes while I'm speaking and see how uncomfortable it is when a child has a totally blocked nose or if an adult has a totally blocked nose and they're snoring and they can't smell or taste. Not being able to breathe through the nose is a horrible condition that few of us experience completely, but if you do, it's very uncomfortable and it's very unhealthy. And most of those issues can be solved by simply washing.
That's very interesting because I know people that have that problem. So what do you mean when you say that the nose affects the nose goes, the ears follow?
Oh, I love that question. Well, the ear is made of three parts. There's the outer and the middle, and there's a eustachian tube which connects the middle part of the ear to the back of your throat. And it is a tube, a muscular tube that's basically closed. But if you're in the airplane and you're popping your ears, you are purposely increasing the pressure in your inner ear and hoping to open that channel up. And what I've learned over the years is that children, I'm going to discuss children here. That's where
okay.
most of my early experiences. But it also happens to be true with adults. But with children, with 100% certainty, a child can never develop a eustachian tube dysfunction issue unless they have a preceding nasal issue. As the nose goes, then the ears follow. Now, the only exception to that, if there's a tumor or some physical blockage or the child has an immune compromised system, but in general, even sinus infections. Have you ever known of anybody who had a sinus infection that just popped up overnight? No, it is always preceded by a snotty nose. Most of asthmatic attacks are preceded by a stuffy, congested nose. We know that that asthmatics who wash their nose regularly have fewer episodes and less intense episodes and less need for rescue inhalers. Why?
So would that mean that...
Because the nose is protecting... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask, so does that mean that people who are elderly or, you know, get into their senior years and become elderly and their hearing starts to go, could it be because maybe they had asthma, sinus infections, and mucus buildup over the years, and that possibly affected their ears? Because there's a lot of people who can't hear today.
That is a totally different issue, and that is based on age and a whole lifetime of exposure to noise that harms your hearing over time. So I always like to say that NasoPure is only a nose wash. It's not going to make you rich or younger. It's only going to clean your nose.
Okay.
And if you keep a clean nose, you wind up avoiding other issues.
Okay.
And that really is the focus. The reason I wrote the book, and by the way, the book is written, I hope you agree, in very simple, easy to understand terms, because I wanted to empower people to take a peek at, for example, if they have sinus issues, look up the anatomy of your sinuses, you know, try to learn a little bit of how they work so that you yourself can be your best advocate on how to fix it. Because surgery is not necessarily the answer.
Yeah, surgery. No one wants to get surgery if they don't have to. So preventative is always the best. So also in your book, you have quotes, and it's about, here, eat this root. I found that thought-provoking.
Yeah, isn't it wonderful? I love it.
Yes.
It basically discusses, or do you want to read it? Or if it summarizes how humanity continues to go in circles, come back to the basics. You know, I used to say NasoPure was invented by a pediatrician using your mother's wisdom. It's really based on the old adage of, oh, you're sick? Well, snort up some salt water in your nose, or put your head over the steamy boiling pan of water. That's where all that comes from. Getting back to the basics of eating good food, put poisons on your body, and keep your nose clean.
I found it interesting. You wrote 2000 BCE, here, eat this root. 1000 CE, that root is heathen. Here, say this prayer. 1850 CE, that prayer is superstition. Here, drink this potion. 1940 CE, that potion is snake oil. Here, swallow this pill. 1985, that pill is ineffective. Here, take this antibiotic. 2004, that antibiotic is artificial. Here, eat this root. 2019, eat real food and keep your nose clean, Dr. Hanna. Isn't that the truth?
It just reminds you how very little we really are in the big picture. And if it gets too complicated, just go back to the simple ideas.
Isn't that amazing? Because so many people are on prescription pills or illegal pills, whichever, and hooked on them as well. And I've known people who were taking like 30 pills a day from different doctors.
That's a crime.
Oh, it's horrible.
And those doctors should be re-educated. That breaks my heart.
Well, actually, they were one of my parents. So I actually took all the pills, went to each of the three doctors, and I said, you guys need to get your act together because my dad was healthier before he was taking all these pills. And so the three of you need to connect and get this together. And because one doctor was saying, oh, don't take this one, you take that one. And it was all convoluted. So I took them all. I went right to their office, the whole bag. And I said, I want you to write all these down and connect with each other. You know, they went down to like, I don't know, 6 prescriptions from 30 between the three of them.
Congratulations on doing that for them. I think it's incredibly important to always be well informed about the risks and the benefits. You know, sometimes you get to an age where if the hip hurts a bit, it's a better price to walk through that pain rather than live on anti-inflammatories, which will then cause a stomach ulcer or high blood pressure. And then you'll have to be on this pill or that pill. Can I read you a quick quote that I sent actually to my children today, this morning? And it says, the person who takes medicine must recover twice, once from the disease and once from the medicine, by Dr. William Osler.
Wow, it's powerful.
And those medicines are miracles, and I think we should be grateful for them, but we should not be taking them as an M&M.
Exactly. And the other problem is that, you know, they're spraying the foods with pesticides, and they're charging us more to eat natural foods without pesticides. You know, they're doubling the price. To say they're natural.
Right.
Well, we should all be buying natural foods. They shouldn't be spraying them with pesticides. So how are those – I mean, I think the pesticides also affect the nose, now that I've read part of your book here. What do you think?
And I agree with you. I sometimes talk about toxic load, and I think most Americans are – they've tipped over their toxic load. And by that I mean – let's say you live in Northern California or Southern California where the fires have been. You know, imagine what you're breathing in the 10,000 liters of air per day if you live in L.A. You're breathing in all of the car fumes, the pollution, the exhaust, the fertilizer, the pesticides, but in addition – from all the fires and all the homes that burned down and all the plastic man-made toxins that were in the appliances of the homes, of all the contents of the home, all those particles burned into the atmosphere. And where did it go? It then came down and landed on the farmlands and in our yards. And we will see where this really affects our health in years to come. I think that Americans are wise to begin to looking at decreasing their toxic load. That is, trying to eat foods that you can pronounce, that don't have 27 ingredients, that won't sit on the shelf for 27 years. I mean, it's good to have a little stash for emergency, but in general, you should eat food that you make, that is colorful, that is real. You shouldn't put chemicals on your body. You have a lot of surface area. And then finally, cleaning the nose. You know, if you wash your nose, this is based on studies. If you wash your nose with a hypertonic buffered, which means salty like the ocean, but very buffered. If you wash your nose with a hypertonic buffered, you remove 80% of the allergens. What does that say? You are using 80% less Benadryl, Allegra, Zyrtec, Flonase. You are.
And many of those antibiotics have side effects too. So they create other problems.
That's right. When you wash your nose with that hypertonic, you shrink the swollen membranes, which means you don't need the Dimetapp or the Sudafed or the secondary blood pressure medicine that it will cause because it causes high blood pressure. It will thin the secretions, so you won't need the Robitussin. It will augment healing of bloody tissues. And most of all, it creates an environment where bacteria and virus cannot survive. So the question is, why aren't the pharmaceutical companies pushing this? And I'll tell you why, because I went to one of them before I came out with my product, and I suggested to them, if you have the patients wash first, then your medicine will actually touch the tissues and not sit on the mucus. And they said, we could never make the money that we want to make. Because Flonase, it's about, I hope I don't get sued, but some steroids are, I'm going to say, a quarter of an ounce or a half of an ounce, and it costs way over $100.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So
it's amazing the profit they're making off of us human commodities. I call us human commodities for profit.
Which is why we have to sort of take control. We have, and how do you do that? By first educating yourself and then making informed decisions.
And we're talking to Donna. Let me explain to our audience one more time. We're talking to Dr. Hannah R. Solomon, and she has an invention that she created, NasoPure, and she's talking about her book, Clearing the Air One Nose at a Time. And this is very important to everyone because she's helping us stay healthy and our children and our families in this world where there's so many chemicals and radiation and toxins and everywhere we turn, and we can't see them or touch them or feel them, so we don't even think about it in our busy lives. So very important to listen to Dr. Hannah R. Solomon and read her book, Clearing the Air One Nose at a Time, and checking out her invention, NasoPure. I'm sorry, Dr. Hannah, but I just had to make sure the audience...
Thank you.
Remember.
Well, can I just put a plug in? You know, the mission of our company is first do no harm. And after my product by hand with my family and neighbors, and I outgrew that, my kits have always been assembled by adults with disabilities, and my bottles have always been manufactured in the United States.
I love it. I love anything made in the USA. It's such a novelty today.
Mm-hmm.
I actually look at labels to the manufacturers and distributor to see if I can find out if they were actually manufactured in the USA and distributed in, as well as distributed in the USA.
Because I
want to support the American people who I know are concerned about high quality products.
Right.
Even if it costs a little more, I'd rather pay a little more to get the quality we used to have in our country.
Mm-hmm.
So you also have a part that says nasal irrigation systems, not in big bold letters. What are they supposed to avoid?
You're asking what are not nasal irrigation systems?
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people assume that if you put a little spray in your nose, that maybe they're irrigating. No, that's like you have a dry plant and you're spritzing on the leaves. You're not really soaking the dirt. Some people think the blue bulb infant torture is a device that you should use to wash your nose. as long as you're using something that flushes along the nasal floor, makes a U-turn, and exits the opposite nostril, that is the most comfortable way to wash a nose. Most doctors, most Americans assume that you're washing up your nose, and that is not
right.
the case.
Oh.
You're washing straight back, and that's what makes it comfortable and avoids the common complaint of, oh, I feel like somebody just pushed me in the swimming pool.
I see.
So, yeah.
So,
but there are many devices, and it's been around for thousands of years, the basic idea of nose washing.
See, and we're look at where we're at in 2020, and we don't even know about this. So is there, most people, is there anyone who should not use NasoPure or any
Thank
other?
Thank you for asking that. Yeah. Never do it to somebody else. Never force anybody to do it. If you're unable to stand and hold a toothbrush, then you shouldn't do it. So the folks that should not do it are kids less than two that are not holding it correctly. If somebody had a stroke, perhaps, and is unable to control their airway, you never want to do it to somebody else, because when you put the bottle in the correct position, a child will automatically know to block the back of their throat when they squeeze the solution through. But if somebody else is going to be doing the squeezing, you don't have that instant feedback of when to block your throat. You also don't have the feedback about how it's feeling. It's a little bit like if you're using a Q-tip on yourself, you have instant feedback about how deep you're going and how it feels. And
right.
that's why I say you should never do it to somebody else. And I have in my book age-specific instructions, because to teach a two-year-old is very different than teaching a nine-year-old. And that's different
Correct.
Than teaching an adult male. An adult male is my toughest customer.
Really?
Yep. And once they get started, then they're my most religious and devoted users. But getting adult men to start washing is a little bit tough.
Sometimes they don't even want to shower.
And you know what? You go to where the person's needs are. If it's a teenage boy who is dealing with chronic sinus and can't breathe through his nose, and he has giant adenoids, and he dogs like this, and he snores, then you would encourage him to try to think about washing, because it'll improve his breath. He'll need less drugs. He'll sleep better. He'll also eat better, and he'll focus better at school. Why? Because people who can't breathe through their nose do not sleep deeply or restoratively, and especially in growing children, but all humans, if you don't sleep well, you don't perform as well during the day.
Yeah, and you can't think as clear either. So would you say that they should do this, just as you say in your book, as you're showering every day and washing your hands and brushing your teeth? Should this be part of your habit?
I think if somebody is looking to prevent issues, this is a way that you can reduce future issues. If anybody has any symptoms, or for example, it's their allergy season and they're outside, they should think about washing twice a day. And if you actually have an infection, a sinus infection, you can wash 3 to 4 times a day. There's a study looking at thousands of adults with sinus infections. Half of them washed, the other half used drugs. In 6 weeks, the nose washers were back to their baseline without the use of an antibiotic.
Wow. So, like with the virus COVID-19, when they say they either swab your nose or your mouth. So when they swab your nose, do any of those other health issues like sinuses and any type of other issues you have with your nose actually affect the testing or not, do you think?
No.
No.
Because what they're testing for is an antigen, most likely an antigen or an antibody, but an antigen of the COVID specifically. So they will ignore any white cells or any red blood cells or any other viral particles or bacterial particles. And if you have polyps or huge adenoids or green mucus, it won't affect the test.
Oh, okay. So what do you think is the most important point in your book? Because, we have to care for our immune system. So do you believe that, using NasoPure can help keep our, body, mind, and spirit healthier as well as our immune system?
Let me respond to that in a very generic way.
Yeah.
Because what I'm speaking about is more my instinct or common sense rather than science proof.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because science is often 10 to 20 years behind. Because all of science is often years behind street knowledge. Mm-hmm. My feeling is that more and more Americans are suffering from chronic debilitating diseases because we've overloaded our immunity, and as a result, many of our illnesses are from hyperimmune reactions, hyperinflammation. That's what an allergy is. Somebody is exposed to pollen. If you're not allergic, you won't sneeze. But if you're allergic to the pollen, it's because you're super overreacting to it. And the more, I'll use the word toxins or poisons, that the body is seeing, then it tips you into overreacting. You're overloading your body. And so to me, the most simplest of ideas is, as I said, don't put poisons on your skin. Eat good and healthy foods most of the time. It doesn't mean you need to be perfect, but most of the time, and keep your nose clean. We have got to advocate for ourselves. You said it earlier. Why does the government use those poisonous chemicals to feed Americans? Because it produces more money. So how can we be smarter about that? How can we be smarter than the last person that decided using that chemical was worth the risk? How do we get folks in those positions to make decisions that make sense for today and for tomorrow and for ourselves and also for the earth? As I look at this body of water outside of my window and I think about, so the decisions we make today, we need to make sure that our planet is still also kept safe. And when we use those pesticides, where do they go? In the water.
Yes, this is what amazes me, is that they, some people say, oh, there's too many people on the planet. But the bottom line is they've been destroying the planet for, the environment and the skies and the oceans and with dumping in chemicals, radiation, all these various things, and they continue to put up more radiation everywhere. So it's amazing to me that, they're concerned about too many people on the planet, and yet they're poisoning our foods and our farmlands and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems so hypocritical to me, because it has to be in balance, right?
Right, absolutely, absolutely. And at the at the same time, our discussion is so overwhelming. I would love to end it with what we do have is this moment, and we can begin to control what we have just around us and look for the joy in what we do have at the moment. Otherwise, you lose your clarity, or where you get overwhelmed. And I would hate to overwhelm anybody with this discussion. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Well, I think we lost our call. We had a technical problem here. But, so anyway, that was invaluable information. You can get this information from Dr. Hannah R. Solomon, and you can find her online. You can look up Nasopure, N-A-S-O-P-U-R-E. Look up her book, Clearing the Air, One Nose at a Time. On that note, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back to enter into the world of politics. So don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe, opening and reopening as the government allows now in June. So check it out. You can go online and find Horseshoe Cafe, and they will tell you the exact date that they will be reopening.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, and we're re-entering into the world of politics, as we do every week after we leave the world of authors and experts. And one of the things I wanted to talk about that hit the Washington Sentinel is the pro-Trump pastor says Chicago Mayor Lightfoot used KGB-style tactics. It says that the pastor of a Baptist church in Chicago told the Todd Starnes radio show on Tuesday that his sermon on Sunday was interrupted by the city's police department that he likened to Soviet-style KGB members. I don't think this has ever happened in the USA before, not to my knowledge anyway. I think this is unprecedented. Pastor Courtney Lewis of the Cornerstone Baptist Church said the police were armed and arrived in three squad cars and two unmarked SUVs. He said his church attendance was only 45, about a half of a normal Sunday. He said that the police were following protocols put in place by Mayor Lori Lightfoot. He said the only thing Lightfoot has not done yet is beat down the doors and arrest the members. He said that he is currently working with an attorney to obtain a video of church members entering the building, which he said was clearly an act of intimidation. The mayor said that she would educate us into compliance, he said. It is intimidating us into compliance, and we're not going to comply, the pastor said. Lewis insisted that his church is doing everything it can do to go above and beyond the standards set by the Centers of Disease Prevention and Control. He said all members need to wear masks. There are hand sanitizer stations. Temperatures are taken at the entrance. He said their standards are far more advanced than businesses deemed essential. We're taking it serious, the pastor said, because we do believe it's serious, but at the same time, we're not willing to give up our constitutional right for a peaceful assembly. He said there was a representative from the mayor's office who was there with police who said he was sorry for the whole situation. Pastor Lewis said he believes it was damage control from the mayor's office. Todd Starnes, the radio host, said churches are under attack, and I have been also feeling this from the news that we see online, that Christian churches and Jewish temples have been under attack for the past 2 or 3 months. And it's going on across the United States. This is what we hear about in third world nations, not in the United States of America. I truly believe this is unprecedented in the USA. How did this even happen? And it's due to the coronavirus restrictions. And recently, the CDC, in fact, I think it was yesterday or the day before, announced that coronavirus is at 0.26% nationwide, which means that it's less than 1% of the population, which does not equate to a pandemic or an epidemic in the USA. So they're going to say it's because we took these preventative measures. But if you look up the law on national emergencies in your state and you read the law and the codes, they do not have the authority to lock down the American people for more than 60 days. They do not have the authority in most states to lock down the American people when it is not an actual pandemic. So if you read the meaning of a pandemic and an epidemic and the actual statistics that recently came out that were the correct statistics by the CDC, you will find that we were misled in the beginning, and so was the President of the United States, and that required by law, if you read your particular law in your state, and most are the same, on national emergencies and pandemics, epidemics, and you will find that they must terminate the national emergency in 60 days, at least for sure in the state of California, but most of the laws are similar state to state, or it wouldn't make any sense. So why we're still in lockdown is a mystery to people who have read those particular laws. And I suggest strongly that you do as well, that you do your homework and your research and read the national emergency laws in your state and also an epidemic and a pandemic, which are similar, maybe even the same, and then also how long they can actually lock down people in a quarantine in a free nation under the Constitution, which in California is 60 days. We are way past the 60-day mark, and Americans have lost their homes. Divorce is on the rise. Suicides have increased substantially. Depression has increased substantially. Domestic violence has increased substantially, as well as child abuse. Because when you have financial distress, it creates physical and emotional distress. And then when you cannot work or you've lost your job permanently because the business is closed or the business owners have lost their savings and their business totally, their life's work, people react. And it's not in a positive way. It's in a negative way. I believe that we are going to see a tsunami of bankruptcies, business-wise, foreclosures on homes, evictions from people who rent or lease. And it affected the owners of those apartment buildings and the houses that they lease or rent out because they still have to pay the bank. Whether the tenant pays or not, they still have to make up the difference and pay the bank, or they could lose everything as well. So they're telling people, you know, you only 10 or 25 people, whatever, can go into a restaurant. We're going on, what, 3 months now? Well, businesses that have sit-down restaurants cannot survive. It's not possible to survive on such a minimal amount of customers and pay the overhead and all the state regulations that they require business owners to pay financially, and the taxes and the workman's compensation and Social Security and insurance. I mean, these are above and beyond the payroll and any profit, if there is any profit. You cannot maintain a business that had 200 customers coming in and expect it to operate on 50 customers or 100 customers, 50% capacity. It isn't going to happen. This is why it's very important for every American to sit down and Google and research in the national emergency laws, the state that you're in, and to research the requirements by the governors and their limited authority to lock down a free nation of free people when the standard of an epidemic or pandemic standard that is required by law, and also requires that the lockdown be terminated, along with distancing, along with masks, along with the other requirements, unless they can prove it is a pandemic, which they have failed to do. Other than when they falsified the numbers and then they sent infected in New York City, they sent infected and persons with COVID-19 enforced the nursing homes to take in those patients that infected the patients that were already admitted with other underlying or pre-existing conditions to be infected as well, and many died. So this is very serious, what has happened in the United States of America, what is unprecedented, and actually no one has ever experienced this lockdown in the United States of America and forced vaccinations, forced testing kits, forced masks, forced distancing, and the vaccine hasn't even been developed, and there are no short or long-term case studies on the vaccine, no published studies, no publications on the direct adverse health effects, which could be death, paralysis, depression, suicidal tendencies, sterility, which have been experienced in the past from a variety of vaccinations, and I am not anti-vaccination. I just want to see the publications and the studies, the case studies in the medical journals on the chemicals, the chemical adjuvants they're putting in, what other ingredients they're putting in, such as aborted fetal tissue, or the actual coronavirus in the vaccine. And according to the Constitution, Americans can opt out if they believe that those ingredients are going to harm them. There have been many class action lawsuits filed by the families who lost loved ones or by those who were made chronically ill, sterile, or created other health issues for them, such as the swine flu vaccine, Lupron, and there were several others, but I'm running out of time. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention, to do your homework, do your research, and call your politicians, your representatives, and ask questions before it's too late. God bless you. God bless America. We'll have another very special guest next Wednesday on Columbo Chronicles Live.
Rose Columbo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Columbo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Columbo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Columbo Chronicles.